Okay, so let's jump straight into the stats corner. And we're going to start off this week with Girona, who they recovered their football to take charge of European qualification. They are now sitting on 65 points with a cushion after Athletic Club lost to Real Madrid at the weekend. So they've got 9 points over them with 8 games to play, so that's 24 points. So it looks like Girona are after taking a further step towards Champions League qualification, a pretty edgy 3-2 win over Real Betis in the rain up in Girona. But following their second goal versus Betis, they have scored 15 goals following a sequence of 10-plus passes in La Liga this season. That's the most of any team across the big five leagues this season. So just goes to highlight how committed Girona are to patient, slow, methodical build-up.
Yeah, and very good at it as well. I was inspired after watching that second goal against Betis because such a great move, probably one of the best passing moves we've seen all season. And in a game where they'd had problems building from the back early on, they conceded the Betis equaliser from a big mistake from David Lopez in the build-up. So for them to come out second half not veer an inch from the script and produce a goal like that was just, sums up Girona's season so far. And obviously, you don't get extra points for scoring goals after 10-plus pass sequences, but I just thought it was a nice stat that showed not only what Girona have done this season, but how well they've done it as well. For them to be top of that specific category against, a raft of European giants is just so impressive.
If it was up to Jamie, if it was Jamie making rules, he would give you extra points for scoring goals with lovely long flowing sequences beforehand. But yeah, watching them against Betis, and we're going to get onto this in a little bit, and maybe one of the players that we mentioned could be a solution for them. But the main topic of the podcast today is going to be just, we're going to look at some candidates who could make a leap this summer. So players who are playing on teams slightly maybe below their level and who could be bought by bigger clubs this year, and players basically kind of the revelations of the league. And we have a list of players here, but it's something that Girona probably do need to take a look at in terms of if they do qualify for Champions League and if they do want to double down on what they're currently trying to do. They probably do need to improve their build-up front to back. David Lopez made that mistake against Betis, and they could potentially lose a couple of players in the summer. I was interested when they played against Betis and the way that they're playing. I tweeted yesterday about Ivan Martin and how he is taking a step forward this in the last few weeks. And we spoke about him, and we always talk about him as one of possibly the most underrated players in Spanish football. And his role is becoming even more central. People still aren't talking about him. Himself and Alex Garcia have become basically almost like a double pivot now. And I don't know if you agree with this, but even Martin has almost become slightly even more valuable with teams realizing they have to shut down Alex Garcia with his maybe the weight of expectation on him and his role in the team kind of affecting how he plays. Even Martin has been asked to step up, and he's been just incredible again against Betis. And I think he's just such a well-rounded player that could basically play for a lot of teams in at the top end of European football.
Yeah, I was I totally agreed with that tweet you put out, because I caught up with the game yesterday, and I was just drawn to Ivan Martin all match, because it was like watching a Bernardo Silva tribute in the way that in big games sometimes Guardiola will use Bernardo deeper where he comes to receive the ball and he holds on to it rather than popping passes off. We saw that from Girona early in the season at Sevilla, where Michel was saying, I don't want one 1-2 touch player now. I want players to come get the ball deep, hold it, turn and get us playing, because when teams are trying to press you, that's a really good solution to escape if you have players like that. So yeah, Ivan Martin against Betis was just brilliant at doing that job of coming deep, receiving the ball, spinning out, finding the free man. And yeah, it's just, it was pretty similar in terms of touches between Aleix Garcia and Ivan Martin, like you said, whereas earlier on this season, it would have been, you know, 100 touches for Aleix Garcia and maybe 40, 50 for Ivan Martin. So yeah, that's one to watch, him giving a bit more support to Aleix Garcia and being that solution of not just a passer early on in moves, but somebody who can take the ball, carry it, and evade pressure without necessarily giving a pass. So yeah, really, really impressive performance. And I think it summed up how underrated he is. And the conversation we have about that is the fact that they gave Isco man of the match again. From that match, whereas I would have probably given it to Ivan Martin, but maybe that's just me.
No, I thought so too, and he is the kind of player who is overlooked because he's one of those players who does evade any kind of being able to put him into any kind of a genre or a box. He's good at winning duels. He can take the ball and spin out of trouble. Defensively, he's good. His tactical fouling is quite good. He knows when to stop the opposition from attacking. He's just kind of a really smart player who can play all over the field. But anyway, moving on, I'm just thinking of players that play in that number eight role for Spain. Mikel Merino, for example. And he's not quite as combative as Merino, but probably does, maybe not. I haven't thought that one through, but a kind of player similar enough to Mikel Merino in ways, and I wonder if he will be brought along to Spain for the Eurocopa, the Euros. And moving on to the next team is Real Sociedad, who we spoke about them being knocked out of Europe and how disappointing that was for them, and they were going through a rough stretch. They were knocked out of the Copa del Rey by Mallorca and struggling for goals and just kind of lost themselves a little bit with all the with their schedule getting a little bit hectic and things like that. But they are back to themselves now, and three straight wins for them. They limited Alaves to just three shots in their 1-0 win over at Mendizorroza, 0.25 xG. That's the fewest by a home side in La Liga all season. Alaves had been averaging 13.5 shots per home game prior to facing La Real. So they've weathered the storm. They're back with no distractions. And I refer to the Champions League and the Copa del Rey as distractions here. And they're focused solely on La Liga. And yeah, they're back.
Yeah, I think it's been a good solution from the podcast that we did on them, where we said not to worry too much because the performance was, although short on the attacking end, they were still performing very well on the defensive end. And now I think you're seeing the defensive performance reflected in the results again and the goals conceded. Alaves just didn't have a sniff. And they're usually a team, when they play at home, who can pick up a really good rhythm. The crowd gets up. They sort of play quite a downhill style where they're flying forward with both wingers. But in this game, they were just stalled throughout. I think in the second half, they only had one shot attempt, which for a team who were trailing at home at Mendizorroza, yeah, that's just a remarkable defensive performance from Real Sociedad. And John Pacheco came in for Len Ormand, and he had probably one of his best games for the club so far. So yeah, now they're back just in the one competition. They've got certain players, you know, a lot fresher, and they're able to impose their style a bit more. And we've basically just seen them revert fully to type. So again, we said it would be a time to worry if their performance didn't pick up once they were just back to La Liga. And that's not been the case so far. So great news for them.
Absolutely. And then moving on to their neighbours up in the Basque Country, Athletic Club, and a player who I've loved since he broke onto the scene, Beñat Prados. His performance against Real Madrid was exceptional, really. Athletic Club lost that game. But since his first top flight start in December at Prados leads all players in La Liga for ball recoveries per 90 outside of the defensive third. He is emerging as a mainstay in this midfield now, and it's really incredible for me to think a player so young. I mean, we talk about Ernesto Valverde's Athletic Club and how physical they are, and they're just like some of those performances against Barcelona in the Copa del Rey, Atletico Madrid in the Copa del Rey, and other games in La Liga where they're just so competitive. It must be so hard to break into that 11 and win minutes. And Prados is not just doing that, but he's actually starting to solidify himself as a the fulcrum of that midfield, I'd almost say. And yeah, I just think he's absolutely been brilliant, really.
Yeah, brilliant. Even again against Real Madrid, we saw for the moment how good he is without the ball, what he's brought to that team in terms of aiding their pressure from the front, the bite in midfield. He's just it just amazes me how these players from Athletic come out of the academy and they're basically just senior footballers who compete like the best of them from day one. It's like they have no adaptation process in terms of intensity, just battling in midfield. He's just right there already. And as a stat you've said shows, he's got a real, well, he's got a genuine talent just for ball winning in that midfield, picking up loose balls, applying pressure. He won possession in the final third 4 times in this match, away at the Bernabeu, which was the most by an opposition player for, I think, about 4 years since Aaron Barry for Getafe. So, yeah, this guy is he's just a fascinating off-ball player, and it'll be interesting to see in time whether his in-possession game comes along, because I think you've seen flickers of it in recent weeks where he's getting more confident, he's expanding his passing range. How far he'll take that, I'm not sure, but for the moment, you play him almost solely for what he gives you without the ball.
It'll be interesting then, even if that doesn't fully develop, just who they partner him with in the centre of that midfield going forward in order to complement him, his off-the-ball abilities, because they're just already there, and what they can build with him in that midfield is going to be interesting. So let's move on then to the six players we picked for to make a move in the summer. Revelations, whatever you want to call them. But I remember listening to Jamie talking about Rafinha playing at Leeds, and he knew watching him, he was like, this is just like, we're watching a player here who is destined for bigger things. And I was just kind of making a comparison, and maybe when the Birmingham City fans are watching Jude Bellingham, and they were just kind of like, okay, this is, we're looking at a player here who has a serious future beyond Birmingham City. But players, there aren't that many players in La Liga this season who are of that ilk, Rafinha, Jude Bellingham, obviously. But there are players who are playing at clubs that probably could be enticed to sell them for bigger fees, whether that be from La Liga's bigger clubs, or from foreign clubs, from Bundesliga, Premier League, whatever, what have you. So moving on to my first one, it's a player who I saw live up in Pamplona. They played, Cadiz played Osasuna, and Robert Navarro that day, I thought, was a standout player for Cadiz. And I've been keeping an eye on him since and just kind of watching him closely. And I just think that he's the kind of player who could improve several clubs certainly in the top half of La Liga, possibly even pushing up into the European places. He's played 1,264 minutes, 93 take-ons so far. Playing mostly as a left midfielder, but also on the right at times. He's contracted to Real Sociedad, but recently he came out with some quotes kind of basically saying, I enjoyed my time with Real Sociedad. And there was speculation that this was like some kind of a goodbye. But his contract is only until 2025. He qualifies to play for Athletic Club with their Basque-only policy. And I was just looking at our tweets there earlier today, and I saw that we tweeted out about it must have been you, tweeted out a couple of weeks ago that Athletic Club were in fact interested in him, and he is the kind of player who I think could play at that level. He's not going to be at Cadiz next season, and I think we're looking at a player here who could definitely improve several top half La Liga club.
Yeah, I went pretty early on Navarro, I think a while back, before they made the managerial change and before their form had started to pick up. I was saying back then, even if Real Sociedad didn't want him, I could easily see him making a step up, even beyond them potentially, to somebody like Girona. When Pablo Torre goes back to Barcelona, I think he'd be a good one-in, one-out if that was possible. But yeah, he's just going to be one of the most fascinating player cases this summer, because Real Sociedad are in the position where they've loaned him out to get experience or to get some playing time. And he's clearly shown that he's a serious talent who can translate that talent onto the pitch and make himself a productive player, which is exactly what they wanted. But at the same time, they'd signed Arsene Zakarayan for a pretty big fee from Dinamo Moscow, who basically is going to play in the same position as Navarro. You know, a number 10, potentially number 8, can also fit in on the wing. So I wonder how they see that. Do they think they've signed the better player in Zakarayan and they want to commit to him? Or are they sat there looking at Navarro playing at Cadiz thinking, geez, this guy's... he's actually pretty good. We should bring him back and make an investment in him. So, yeah, I'm not sure what's going to happen, but it's a very solid choice to start with.
I'd say they're committed to Zakarayan now, based on the fact that they signed him for a big fee, and he hasn't really done enough yet to move him on for that same fee or to recover that money. And yeah, he hasn't really been given that much of a chance either to. So I would say maybe that's what Robert Navarro meant with his comments kind of saying goodbye, I enjoyed playing there. Maybe he kind of saw the writing on the wall. But yeah, you mentioned Girona, I mentioned Athletic Club. It's not just us mentioning them. These are reports. There's reports there too with Athletic Club. So they're two Champions League sides. And that's probably the level we're talking about here, potentially. Yeah, really good. And the goal he scored at the weekend was just incredible. And I was watching it, the way he took it down, magnificent. But then the way he actually hit it, for a team in the relegation zone, that in a game that was probably going to be decided by just one goal, he absolutely, it was like he was just playing headers and volleys with his mates out on the green. He absolutely buried it. And yeah, just excellent technique. A player who, and this is what I felt watching him against Osasuna, it feels like at times with Cadiz, the movement around him isn't at the same speed or of the same level as what he's operating at. So he kind of gets a little bit frustrated, but that's kind of speculating on that too. So yeah, Robert Navarro is my first one, and I think he's set for a pretty interesting summer, and it'll be interesting to see where he goes. Do you want to move on to your one next?
So I think overall this exercise kind of lends itself more to younger players who are at mid-table, bottom half clubs, which I think is just a bit more interesting than us taking up a chunk of our choices with, you know, Aleix Garcia to Barcelona, Gutierrez to Real Madrid, maybe Jan Couto to one of the big two as well. We all kind of know that those players are in the frame for moves. We've talked about them all season. So yeah, I think it's, focusing on guys like Navarro and the players that will follow is just kind of a bit more interesting. And I threw in the under 25 caveat as well, just to kind of give it some more criteria. Just to kind of help with that. So for the first one, this is not going to surprise anybody who's listened to this podcast in the almost year we've been doing it now, but Mika Marmol from Las Palmas. And I know I've talked about this guy to absolute death already, but I think I'm now at the stage where I think he's a player who should be going to a top four club in Spain, or specifically, basically I want him to go to Girona. or I think that's what Girona should do if they can absolutely manage it, because they're going to be in the Champions League next season. Daley Blind has been exceptional this season, but he is 34 years old. We've seen examples this season of what you need to compete across Champions League, Copa del Rey, La Liga, if you are not, you know, a monster squad. And I just think adding Mika Marmol makes so much sense for a team that have killed their opposition all season long in the build-up. And with the way football's going, the system that Girona play, I just think Marmol is a guy that you need to grab right now if you can, because he's, you know, his reputation is only going to get bigger. The price is only going to go up even more. So I just think with the way that Girona play, where their left centre-back, you know, moves between left-back and centre-back, he takes different positions to help them, you know, stretch teams out and play around them. I would just go for him now if they can. And you know, I'm fond of Las Palmas. I don't want to see him leave necessarily, but I just think it's inevitable at this point.
Yeah, it's inevitable when a team like that overachieves and they get picked apart because of, like Mika Marmol, Barcelona still own 50% of his rights, and they'll be keen to get, maybe if Las Palmas sell him for 20 million. 10 million, as our listeners will know, 50% of 20 is 10. But they'll be keen to maybe recoup some of that. And you said we've spoken about him a lot, and certainly you have, and we have on the podcast, but we also weren't sure either, because he played at Andorra in the Segunda Division, and then he made the step up to Las Palmas, and we were saying, okay, let's see how this step up goes. And now he's playing in at a mid-table club, and he's entirely comfortable. So naturally, we're going to have to raise our expectations on him and see, is he ready now for the next step? And that's what I was talking about earlier when I mentioned David Lopez, and obviously that's not what you mentioned about the left-sided centre back, but that whole back line is probably going to get remade. And I was looking, well, I was watching Girona at the weekend, I was thinking how they will fare in Europe. You just said that Girona are going to play in the Champions League. I'm still kind of nervous. I don't know, it's so tight there. And after Atletico Madrid's win over Villarreal at the weekend, or on Monday night actually, I'm still nervous about it, and I really hate for it to be taken away from them now, but look, we'll have to wait and see how that goes. But yeah, I think he would fit perfectly at Girona, what they're trying to do. Like, you look at the other teams, Barcelona, Real Madrid, okay, Barcelona fine, but not really either, because it's not where they're going to be putting their resources into. Real Madrid, no. Atletico Madrid, they will be looking for a left centre back, it looks like, but no, to not. Although, having said that, now that I think of it, maybe he might work at Atletico Madrid in place of Mario Hermoso, but not a kind of a typical Diego Simeone defender. So Girona is the natural choice, and he probably is good enough to play top four, so in a Champions League side. So yeah, great shout there. I'm going to move on to another Las Palmas player, and it's Sergi Cardona, who plays left back. He's out of he's 24, and really combative, loads of yellow cards. He's almost guaranteed a yellow card when he plays. He's been linked now with Atletico Madrid and Real Betis. He's out of contract in the summer, and while he probably wouldn't, if he had a contract for 3 or 4 or 5 years, he probably wouldn't be going for the kind of money we're talking about Mika Marmol, but given the fact that he's out of contract and he has played so well, and he is a player who can, who's solid defensively. Sorry, he is a left back who is both solid defensively and entirely competent going forward too. I think it's too big of an opportunity for a bigger club to miss out on. And he has already been linked with Atletico and Betis, and I just don't think Las Palmas will have the resources to keep him. Given what he's probably going to be offered in free agency. Where do you think he fits best? Atletico, Betis, somewhere else?
Well, I think first of all, he's an absolute guarantee to leave this summer. He was speaking the other day in a press conference, and he basically said he's heard nothing from Las Palmas, which I would take to mean that they've given up on any chance of keeping him, because, you know, as you said, there's interest. He's a young player. He's out of contract. Las Palmas are not hugely cash rich. So yeah, this guy's an absolute lock to leave, I would say. And I would say, I would favour him a Betis or Villarreal level club, I would say, from the summer onwards rather than Atletico. I don't really see where he'd fit in Atletico's system because he's not a pure wing back. He doesn't have the pure attacking threat to carry out that or push Samuel Lino for a starting spot. And I don't see him as an extra centre back. I would say, a club like Betis where he can play as an orthodox fullback where he has lots of overlapping responsibilities, getting up and down the wing. I like him because he can do both. He can be the athletic player who just gets up and down all game, overlaps. But we've also seen him under Garcia Pimienta taking up inside positions, doing a little bit of the Miguel Gutierrez stuff. So potentially Girona. I don't know. If Miguel Gutierrez gets snapped up, I would suggest Cardona is a decent candidate to step in. And I'm pretty sure he's from that part of the world. So could be a good option.
I'm just laughing here because every player we've mentioned so far, we've been like, send him to Girona.
Maybe we'll go for the full house.
Yeah. So do you want to move on to your next one? And spot on that, yeah. And unless Simeone is thinking of going to a traditional back four, we don't know what's going to happen. But yeah, we'll get into that when we know more in the summer, when we see how these transfer plans move out. But yeah, Cardona way more suited to a traditional back four, like you said. And Betis also kind of have a little bit of a weakness there at left back. Not entirely convinced with Abner or Juan Miranda, I don't think. So Cardona would probably be a step up from either of them. So do you want to move on to your next player?
Yeah, so the next player we've got signing for Girona would be Jorgen Strand-Larsen.
He would suit.
I remember speaking about him on a podcast earlier in the season. I think when we did the Celta special and we were talking about signings, and I think back then we were pretty down on him as a signing considering they paid 12 million euros for him. But since then, I don't know about you, but I've definitely changed my perspective on him as the season has gone on. I think let's just look at goals for a second. I mean, he's on 10 non-penalty goals this season, which is one behind Borja Mayoral, two behind Artem Dovbyk. And if you've not seen the drama with Strand-Larsen in the past few weeks, he did an interview saying, you know, he's pretty happy with his goal tally, given that the fact that he's never played for a big team, which obviously some Celta fans looked at and thought, yeah, that's a little bit annoying, but it is true that he's playing in one of the worst teams in La Liga up until now, and he's put up goal numbers that are, you know, pretty much as good as any striker in La Liga, you know, only a couple behind some of the best centre-forwards who play a much better team, so fair play. I just think we've seen him play as a centre-forward most of the season, but Benitez also played him on the right side of a 3-4-3 in possession, which I think speaks to the fact that he's a pretty dynamic player for such a big guy. And I think just between the goal tally in the team that he's played in and the fact that he is so mobile for such a big target man, not a target man, but a guy who has the stature of a target man, he just makes him an interesting possibility for me.
And that's one of the... Like watching him against Rayo Vallecano, they had that goal ruled out, which was just ridiculous. And then they hit the crossbar right at the end. The season could be completely different for Celta Vigo if they just had a little bit of rub of the green. And Larsen reminds me a little bit of just exactly what you said there. He's dynamic, but he also has the stature of a target man, a little bit like Alexander Sorloth in many ways. And my recommendation or my idea would be maybe Real Sociedad are potentially going to be looking for a number 9 in the summer. So if the Girona plans fall through, maybe he could move to Real Sociedad. I think that would work, yeah. Exactly like you said, he's dynamic, lots of goals, and hasn't probably been able to cover himself in glory because the fact that he's playing for Celta. And we've seen him kind of come out of the shell in the last two games with the change of manager, but the whole first stage of the season under Rafa Benitez was very defensively orientated and didn't get a chance to do as much. So, yeah, another player who could be on the move in the summer and could potentially play for a team, maybe not in the top four, but definitely in the top half of the league and potentially in Europe. So another player who is definitely, apparently, on the move in the summer is a defensive midfielder who I wouldn't have him going to Girona. I think there's a bit of an overbooking there in Girona right now. But now Dion Lopi from Almeria, he's got 48 take-ons attempted. That's second behind Camavinga for defensive midfielders. And he's completed 28 take-ons. So that's the most in La Liga at the same position. And when you look at his stats, he's up there with Camavinga Ernesto Valverde, Federico Valverde, as a kind of player who he's 22, really physical player, but also could play on a much better team than Almeria, are almost certainly doomed to relegation. Now, the reason why I might leave him out of this is because apparently Almeria are asking for like 20 million for him, which is too much for some of the clubs that are linked with him. So it looks like the Premier League or the Bundesliga is where he's destined for, but definitely a player who could and will play for a club at a higher level next season.
Yeah, definitely, I would say. He's a pretty funny player because I think if you were to grade his season just in complete isolation without thinking about the future or what he might do, I don't think he'd go much beyond a 6 out of 10. Yet when you watch him, you can't help but think what this guy would be in a much better team. And his attributes are pretty fascinating at his position and at his age. Like you said, only 22. I remember watching him away at Athletic earlier in the season, before Almeria were completely doomed. And they got smashed that day, but he looked by far their best player. And playing at San Mamés, as we know, under the pressure, really comfortable receiving the ball from his defenders, back to play, protects the ball well. He's not a player who's going to spray the ball to all corners of the pitch and totally dominate a game, but he's got some really nice attributes as a deep line midfielder who can carry the ball, look after it. And yeah, it's been interesting to see so many teams have seen through him playing in a struggling Almeria side. Probably not, his performances have not been incredible, but it seems like a lot of teams can see that he's got something and could be a very interesting player in a different circumstance.
Well, I guess that's what you're looking for a team like Almeria who we haven't been that bad compared to their points total, but have been bad enough to be dead last in La Liga. So it's hard for any player to stand out in that situation. But having said that, at that point, you're just looking for trades, really. And I think, and Dion Lopi has shown those. I'm just thinking maybe, like, just in terms of where he might end up, like Atletico Madrid could do far worse in terms of trying to rebuild that midfield. I think watching them against Villarreal, they struggle so much. The game just gets so chaotic that they need someone to control the game. Koke tries to do it, but that's fine when he's on the ball. Out of possession, the game just becomes like a tennis match, up and back, like a basketball game, up and back, the up and down the field, and it just leads to too much chaos, really. And a player like Dion Lopi, not going to set the world on fire, but you could plug Koke in beside him, Rodrigo De Paul in beside him, and you've got your midfield. But I don't know what kind of funds Atletico would have or what exactly Almeria are looking for him. But yeah, do you want to move on to your last one then before we move on?
Yeah, we had quite a few more than six overall, but the last guy I went for, yeah, we can probably mention the honourable mentions at the end, but the last one I went for, I was basically down to two fullbacks. One was Jesus Areso from Osasuna, but I went for Javi Lopez at Alaves as my final one because Canarian bias aside, I just think he's had a really solid season, and particularly given that coming up from Segunda, he's actually played more this season in La Liga than he did last term in the second division. So he's been one of the best players for Alaves overall, I would say. One of the players who's surprised me most in a good way. Not somebody who, you don't look at the stats and he jumps out in any particular way. He's not an unbelievable crosser. He's not a progressive machine. He's not a lockdown defender, but I think he's just very steady across the board. And at just 21 years old, Alaves have offered him a contract extension, which he's not responded to, apparently. So he's scheduled to be out contract in 2025. But if he arrives to this summer without having signed anything, I think they're going to have to try and sell him, because he's one of very few young players, young as in, you know, 20, 21, 22, that they could actually make some money on. So I think he's a good candidate to move on. Probably a Betis type signing, I would say. Like you said, they need a left back. Juan Miranda is supposed to be leaving. I think he's going to Milan this summer. So there's a definite vacancy there. Who will be cheaper between Cardona and Javi Lopez? I'm not sure. Yeah, if you could sign one of those two, would you go for Cardona?
Depends really what you're looking for. But yeah, I probably would go for Cardona, given what he can do, given how aggressive he is. And yeah, given the fact that he has been able to do that while playing in a possession based team and cover playing in a team that plays such a high line. So I think I've been most impressed by Sergio Cardona. And yeah, another interesting one for the summer there. And like you said, a lot of honorable mentions. Like Mason Greenwood, Akitafe has performed well enough now to merit a move to a bigger club. Obviously, there's external issues there that clubs are going to have to take into consideration, and whether or not his future is in Spain, we're not sure. And then Aymar Arroz for us, Osasuna is another player who I think, obviously, Jacobo Arasete is leaving in the summer. So it'll be interesting to see what they do and with their squad and who they bring in to replace him, whether they try to kind of expand, whether they just kind of try to get a continuity candidate in there. And then obviously the Girona guys, who almost to a man have improved their stock this season, which is down to Michel's coaching, but also they had it in them all along. So it'll be if they do make the Champions League, which it looks like they're in pole position to win it now, but they're going to be keen to keep the band together. Maybe the players will be keen to represent Girona in their first season in Europe in their history. But at the same time, there's going to be a lot of clubs coming looking for them. Obviously, Savio has been linked with Manchester City. I'm not entirely sure if that's actually a done deal yet, but I think it's pretty much on the brink. And then they've obviously got the multi-club model. They're part of City Group, so whether City want to keep them together and not pull it apart. But the likes of Jan Couto could play for City if they have a need for a right wing back, full back, centre midfield attacker on the right. I do it all, man, on the right hand side. Like Ankov could play for the majority of top European clubs. Even Martin, like we said, Miguel Gutierrez, obviously those Real Madrid links. Dovbik. If there's movement, say, just for example, Haaland, not to saying this is going to happen, but if Haaland goes somewhere, Dobbik, does he become Manchester City's target? He's been good enough now to merit a move to a bigger club, a traditionally bigger club. Obviously, Girona are operating at a Champions League level, but a club that's going to make it into Champions League every single year. So yeah, the Girona guys, but we don't know what's going to happen there. We're going to do a Girona special in the summer and just kind of try to maybe put on our sporting director glasses and take a look at it through as to what we might do for them in the summer, what they need to do and what they're going to be able to do. So yeah, that's pretty much it from us on the revelations, I'll call them, of La Liga this season and players' destinations for bigger moves. But just a couple of players then to mention from the Segunda who come to mind when we were thinking about this. You had a couple, and we've spoken about them before on the podcast, on the Spanish Segunda podcast. Actually, Peque from Racing Santander is one of them.
Yeah. He's been linked with Girona recently. We talked about him on the previous podcast, like I said, if you want to go back and hear more about him. Iker Losada, another player that we mentioned. I like that you put down Abel Bretones from Real Oviedo. He's a player that I like. Really physical left back, amazing athlete, gets forward so well. Just a very strong guy, good crosser. Just on the other side as well, I noticed you'd put Viti, who was playing at right back for Oviedo. Apparently, Las Palmas are pretty well down the line on signing him for the summer.
Apparently, also, this has become the transfer rumor show. Apparently, Sevilla have lined him up to replace Jesus Navas. And the reason why I popped him in there was when I was looking at Abel Bretones' numbers. Bretones has the most successful take-ons for fullbacks in the Segunda this season. But and then you've got Enrique Franquesa from Leganés, another player who's impressed. Josan from Elche. And then Viti Rosada is fourth. He's also from Real Oviedo, but he plays on the right-hand side, and he's got 33 take-ons. He's fourth on that list. So, yeah, he's obviously destined for something bigger if Las Palmas and Sevilla are linked with him. Real Oviedo still in with a shout to be promoted. But I've also mentioned a player who I really like, Alejandro Frances from Zaragoza, who is he's a smallish centre back, but loads of a technical ability, and I don't know where he fits in with or where he would fit in as a centre back, given the fact that he's not huge, but a player who definitely has the quality technically to take a leap from Zaragoza, who are they're probably not going to be relegated this season from the Segunda, but they're down there. And yeah, he's probably good enough to play somewhere else. And Jose Gragueta from Espanyol, defensive midfielder, technically limited but really, really aggressive, breaking up play, interceptions, tackles, duels won, the whole lot. I think he's been really good, and as Espanyol continue their charge looking for automatic promotion, he's been key for them. Like I said, limited attacking wise, but definitely has the abrasiveness to cause problems for attacking teams, for teams on the attack, as a defensive midfielder.
Yeah, definitely. He's looked pretty good. We'll see if he gets to La Liga in the summer. Espanyol have got some good young players now. I like the goalkeeper as well, Juan Garcia. Just looking at the other players we mentioned, you're obviously you're the chairman of the Peru No Las Guain fan club.
Well, I'm the chairman of Eibar football club or Eibar fan group, because I just think, like, look, I could be completely wrong here, but I just think that they're the best team in the Segunda division. And that's coming from a place of having seen a limited amount of the these teams throughout the year, but I've seen the top six and the top eight enough times now, two or three times maybe, to make some kind of a statement on this. And I just think that Eibar have so much quality, and Pero Nolas Guayan and Mateus Pereira in the center midfield is just so good. And Pero Nolas Guayan in particular, he's an Athletic Bilbao boy, obviously, and part of the reason why maybe he got moved out is because they saw what they had in Beñat Prados, and they were like, okay, we're gonna bet on Prados here, because whatever happened with Nolas Guayan at Athletic Club, he left. But you watch him in the Segunda, and you're like, this guy is destined for European football. Now, he's a monster physically, so you'd have to find a team that is looking for that. But he's just so, he's a lot of his weaknesses maybe technically are compensated by the fact that he's just so athletic and so energetic that he's everywhere all at once. And I just think he's been so good since he signed for Eibar. And he could be the reason why they get promoted automatically.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if I were Athletic, I would really try or at least think about moving Mikel Vesga on and bringing Noel Asquine back, regardless of whether Eibar come up. I just think, Vesga, watching him get alongside Parados in that Real Madrid game, you know, for a while, Vesga was about as good as it got for Athletic's midfield. And now, you know, watching a young Parados alongside him, it just sums up how much of a different era this is for Athletic. You know, the quality of player that's coming through now is just on a different level to what it was. You know, for a long time, that midfield was Mikel Vesga and Dani Garcia, which is destructive at best, but it, you know, in possession lacked a lot. So, yeah, if they could get Noel Asquine back in to that midfield, that'd be really nice. And just one last player I wanted to mention, because from the Segunda that I've watched this season, I think he's probably the most fascinating player I've seen. As in, I don't know if this guy is worth 30 million or £30,000, but it's Fabrizio from Levante. Have you watched him?
Yeah, I actually have. I watched him against Burgos, and I could not agree more. He's like a live wire, and he seems to always be around the action. There's always action when he's on the ball or when he's close to it, and I completely agree.
Yeah, he's got like a Diego Costa build in that he's kind of big, but he's more fast. I would describe him as faster than it just being pure strength. So he's really mobile. He's a big guy, pretty young. I think 23, I think he is. And yeah, he just looks so dynamic every time I watch him. Obviously, some of the decisions are a bit dodgy at the end of his moves. But yeah, I'm so intrigued to see what he becomes, because he looks like a one man counter-attacking specimen at times for Levante. And yeah, I don't know if the goals will follow, but he's got some just really interesting attributes.
Maybe actually that's why I'm thinking he's a chaotic player, because the two games I watched him in against Burgos, when Burgos took the lead and Levante were trying to get back into the game and it was just kind of all-out attack. And then again against Elche, the game just broke into complete chaos, but he seemed to be always at the center of it, and things were happening when he got the ball. And like you said, a one-man counter-attacking machine, and maybe it was the nature of the games. Maybe in a more settled game, he mightn't stand out as much, but it's definitely one to keep an eye on. And yeah, I hope our listeners have plenty to ponder there. We've pretty much loaded Girona up with 8 new players in the process of 45 minutes. But it's probably a sign of what their summer is going to look like, because they're going to have to overhaul their, maybe not overhaul it, but they're going to have to do something in the summer to deal with the demands of European football next season. Yeah, we'll leave it there for now, and we're going to go into this in more detail, maybe just before the summer or right as the transfer market starts, to kind of see if anything has changed and what we're hearing or what we're seeing in the press here in Spain, and whether any player can emerge in the next few weeks that could stake a claim for a big transfer move in the summer. But yeah, from us this week at La Posa Pod headquarters, myself and Jamie bid you adieu.